Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by EverBank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jeff Loggeman is still here. Tony Baselli is in the house, and we expect Mark Brunel to make it at some point here in the next couple of minutes for Jaguars Thursday. And you go along in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. Sunday, Military Appreciation Day. Come show your support for the men and women who serve this great country. Jaguars and Cardinals, sponsored by CSX and Florida Blue. Tony, what's going on?
Nothing. Another day.
Come on. We finally have a Thursday night
he's
show
all
to talk
dressed,
about something.
He's all dressed up. Something's going on.
Were you campaigning?
No, I
can't. Shaking hands, kissing babies.
Exactly. He is a great politician.
I'm excited for the game. I mean, I was listening to the end of the show. The fact that we're back home, selfishly, I'm glad. I don't know about you. I don't want to get on another plane.
Yeah, you're getting on the next 2 weeks to go to Houston and Cleveland.
Well, but
so
it's nice to be here. I mean, it's exciting. It's get back out here. I'm hopeful that the energy that this team played with on the road last week will transfer and come home this week, and they'll give a great performance and hopefully get a victory for the home crowd. So yeah. I think it's great. It's an interesting matchup watching the Arizona Cardinals on tape, and it's going to be a challenge. I mean, they're a good football team. I mean, they are.
It's funny though. You talk about how the team brought energy to Tennessee, you know, and I've always been a believer in this, you know, because you hear fans say that, boy, they really showed energy and they came out strong. Hey, look, all that's created when you have positive plays. And there was nothing better that could have happened to this team than what happened early on in Tennessee, and that was having success.
Here's the question.
Well, can I say something? Yeah. And I agree with Jeff. I mean, listen, confidence begets confidence and, you know, momentum, and we know all of that stuff is true. But I do think there's something to a team's resiliency as well, that when they get on the field – I mean, I never – and I know fans, this is popular with fans at the time, you know, well, they didn't give great effort. No, I think guys always are out there with the intention. I mean, they're professionals. I mean, they take pride. They want to play well, and they're going to give good or great effort. But I think it's something about a team, especially when you're a young team and you struggle, that the first sign of trouble, I think your countenance, you know, your attitude can kind of drop a little bit. And so when I say bring energy, I hope they bring the same. And maybe probably that early fumble had something to do with it. But from the first snap, come with that attitude. Listen, we are here for 60 minutes. We're going to come with that energy every single play.
The true test of that, though, is that if something bad happens early,
it always
and
is.
How they respond.
All right, well, this is just telling because this is the way the season has gone. You know, for this team, up and down, they have a good performance in Denver, and then they have two bad performances. You know, you get out of the first half of the season, which is such a difficult schedule, and your offense is averaging 350 yards over the last four games, and then they lose the guy who really sparked that, Justin Blackmon. You go out, and for the first time all season, they stuff the run against Chris Johnson, who was coming off a big day, and he got the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And then at the very end of the game, takes that hit. All of a sudden now it's doubtful that he's going to be on the field, or at least it looks highly unlikely that he would play on Sunday, right? So now you come up against
a team
with...
But there's been no official ruling.
No. And Gus has said, and he's gone out of his way to say he's in the protocol, under their supervision. You know, we'll find out. Tomorrow will be a more telling day. But it's just that kind of a year for this football team.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
because you got Andre Ellington, 7.1
per carry. I think offensively, that to me, that's the most telling side. There's been no consistency on offense. And now all of a sudden you have one good performance on defense and you may lose one of your best players on defense. I mean, that's hard to deal with. And then the same week you lose a backup linebacker because Leroy Reynolds gets a PED suspension. I mean, you know, hey, how are they going to respond? How are they going to come out this week?
All right, now let me start a little trouble. And you and I kind of touched on this in the broadcast booth the other day. So Chad Henne's been the starter now for four straight weeks. They're 1-3. He's thrown one touchdown and five interceptions, right? Mm-hmm. Here's my question, right? We know what he is. We know what it's about. At what point do you start talking about getting Gabbert back in again with seven games left to play?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with what Blaine is doing on the practice field, which, you know, we don't get to watch. But the interesting thing to me is that what would have happened if they didn't win in Tennessee? Because Chad Henne was good at times, but the two interceptions were not very good plays for him.
Well, you know, they had 93 yards in the first quarter, right? And that was when he had the turnovers that gave him field position. And they finished with 214. And the offense really took the momentum away from that ball game. Now, you got to give the Titans credit. They did a good job. They're a good defense stopping.
Yeah, but they're not that good. They're not like this Arizona Cardinals defense.
No, but there were a couple of times where they settled for field goals, and you're thinking, you know, you're letting them come back in. You can see this thing come back. And I just keep thinking, we know what Chad is. He's a very good number two. We're probably certain that Gabbert's not the guy, but, boy, do you have
probably
to at least have the Well, I think you got to leave the possibility, even if it's just a chance, right? Here's what I'm saying. Let's find out. Let's put him back in.
Brian, I'd agree with you. I mean, like, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, Chad's numbers aren't great. Anyway. I mean, it's why not put him in there and see what he can do?
Because he's not. He's just the red zone. Every time he's down there.
It's hard to do it after a win. But, I mean, don't you get the feeling that they didn't win?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question. Yeah, because of four takeaways.
I don't care if it was 50
takeaways.
Because
of special teams.
We've talked about it, and Jeff has said it himself, and I agree. And we
see it. Because the defense scored.
No, it's about how the team reacts to Chad. I mean, come on. I mean, no.
But do you think the defense played well because of Chad was the quarterback?
No, but I think listen, is Blaine more talented as far as just athletic ability, arm
yes.
talent, all that stuff?
Yeah, no
sure.
doubt.
But that doesn't matter. Listen, I just got to watch the Houston Texans against the Cardinals, a seventh-round pick or undrafted guy in Case Keenum that doesn't have any arm talent, isn't big, isn't strong, but basically took the job of the starter who's making $10 or $12 million a year because he gives him a little juice.
Didn't give him enough juice.
Well, I was watching that tape with you, and while he made decent decisions, there was that last game, there was four throws that could have been easily picked, and three of them could have gone for touchdowns. Now, it didn't happen,
and he's
the guy, and they're going forward with him, but
I just disagree. Listen, I think the quarterback is, yes, it's about the numbers. Yes, it's about talent, and it's all those things. Those are nice, but it's also how the offense responds to you. It's how the guys respond when what's going on, how you respond.
I obviously can't speak to that because I've never been in an NFL huddle. But all I can speak to is those two picks. I mean, you could call them now.
Brian, do you forget the St. Louis game?
No, I didn't.
I mean, do we have to? I mean, listen.
No.
It'd be one thing if, listen, Chad's ball, he threw a couple balls and we were sitting in the booth like, what in the world? But have we not seen the same decisions from Blaine Gabbert?
You know, and you had a different reaction. You know, the reaction from the players on the offensive side of the ball when Blaine had that day in St. Louis was not good. Towards him. And then when Chad had those plays in Tennessee, you didn't see that reaction towards him.
Well, I'll just say this. I want to see him again before the season is
done. So do I.
I don't want to go the final seven games watching Chad Henne, who I know is never going to be the guy here, when I could at least see Gabbert over the final seven games and decide for sure he's not.
But you got to have a reason.
I get that.
I mean, you got to have a reason. And the reasons are is a poor performance by Chad, which he had in Tennessee, but they got the win. And they need to have a strong performance by Blaine in practice. And that's hard to really kind of gauge because he's not getting a lot of the reps in a practice situation.
You know, I think it'll play out. I think it'll play out this week. I think it'll be clear. You know?
Clear in what way?
I think it's going to be clear.
How is it not? What is unclear?
Look at the numbers.
What am I
look
missing?
At the numbers. Okay, they win. But look at Chad's numbers. One touchdown, five interceptions. Why not? Put him in there.
Bro, have you looked at – I mean, am I missing something?
Yeah, but we're 1-8. Who cares at this point? Him in there.
You're crazy.
Why not?
You know who cares is the other 52 guys in the locker who want
to
win.
It's not like they're completely responding to Chad Henne. The football has gotten so much better. They may like him more.
It's not about
They might think they may have a little bit of a better chance.
Maybe
a little bit.
Who gives you the best
chance?
But
you're 1-8. Let's find out for sure whether Blaine Gabbert can play in this league. Seven games left.
Let's put aside, let's find out. Because I have a pretty – I mean, listen, if you don't know by now, I mean, let's put aside the – let's find out. And let's say – let me ask this question. Who do you think right now, today, gives you the best chance of winning when we play Arizona this week?
One touchdown, five interceptions.
No, that's
not
the question.
It is. It's how he's playing. No question.
Okay, so Blaine Gabbert gives his team a better chance of winning against Arizona.
You're right. I can't say I can't say he does. But I can't say Chad Henne's.
Jeff? Who gives a better chance of winning on Sunday?
In my opinion?
Yeah.
Blaine.
Okay.
Because they're not going to be able to run the ball.
It's 50. It's 50.
Then you should play
50.
Him.
You, I mean, let's,
then you should
let's
play
find
him.
You know, and look.
If I'll say this. If Gus Bradley thought that that Blaine Gabbert gave him a better chance of winning this game, then Blaine Gabbert would be the quarterback, guys.
Well, and I
not
get
after
it.
A win.
Look,
man.
I mean, look.
No,
I,
you're crazy.
Not after a win.
I watched him in warm-ups, and I understand it's just warm-ups. But, Mark, I had this conversation with these guys on Sunday, and I just stood there and thought, why? Because he throws – there's a discernible difference like that in the arm talent, right?
No question.
Big, strong guy.
No one would argue with that.
That means nothing.
I know it means nothing, but it does show me he's got physical talent.
I mean, something.
I'd like
that's
to
why
see.
They measure all
yeah,
that stuff, the combine
yeah.
and do workouts.
I just
want to
see.
Drew Brees doesn't have much arm talent.
What?
So who has more arm talent, Blaine Gabbert or Drew Brees?
We're talking about apples and oranges
I'm making the point is arm talent. I'm not sure Peyton
We're talking
Manning.
About Chad and Blaine. You're talking about one of the best in the business.
You're talking about arm talent.
Yeah, I'll tell you arm talent. Drew puts it wherever he wants.
Does it
get there as fast as Brett Favre's? No. But the timing, the arm talent, yeah, he puts it exactly where he wants it.
That's arm talent.
That's arm talent. Are we talking about arm strength? Okay, no, hold on. That's arm talent? Then I don't know if Blaine Gabbert has arm talent because I don't see the ball on time in the exact spot where he wants it. I just want to make sure we're saying apples to apples here, not to making up definitions so your argument works for you.
You always got to bring up fruit when you get flustered.
I'm not flustered. I stand by. Listen,
it's better for you than pizza.
I already had pizza. I'm not flustered at all. The point is, do I think Blaine Gabbert is more athletically talented? And if we ran out there and on air, threw balls, and did drills, would it be clearly that Blaine Gabbert would stand apart from everybody else? He'd probably stand apart from a lot of guys if you took their names off the back of the jerseys and just went out there on a 7-on-7 field and let's throw it around. You'd look at him like, wow. But you know what? Guess what, guys? You don't play the game with no offense and defensive line and guys coming and hitting you in the mouth and guys crossing the middle of the field and making decisions and anticipating and seeing things and making decisions. That's not the way the game is played. And so from what I've seen, as much as I want Blaine Gabbert to be the guy because he has all those other things we talk about, I haven't seen it. And if you have, then you're looking at something I don't see.
Well, you know, I read the story last week. It was post-Titans win, and it was with Bill Polian, who was there in Nashville. And he talked about the evolution of a quarterback. And obviously, look, you get an Andrew Luck and an RG3, and it blows that argument out of the water to some degree. But he talked about year one being the quarterback finding the way to the lunchroom and to the practice field. He talked about year two figuring out what the team wants to do on offense, and year two figuring out what the defense that opposes you wants to do on defense, and year four being that year. And I see a guy with 27 career starts. Do I know he's had some bad ones? You bet. Did Eli Manning? Yeah, he had a 0.0 passer rating.
There was an argument with Eli Manning. Who's better, Eli Manning or David Garrard?
Yeah, and so my whole point is, with seven games left to play, you don't have Chad Henne under contract for next year. He's a nice guy. He's a good leader. He's a backup quarterback. I still want to see Gabbert
before
the year is out because I'm not worried about wins and losses.
The biggest thing, though, that Blaine lacks is leadership.
I know.
Because of that series at the goal line in St. Louis showed it. You know, and I'm not talking about what he did. I'm just talking about the teammates' reaction to him. He's got to find a way to be better at that, to command the huddle, to command the room, and to be a leader.
And, Tony, I know exactly what you're saying. 20 years around this, I know you are right on what you're saying. I just can't help but think I need to at least see a little bit more before the future comes in the draft next year.
I'll say two things. I respect Bill Polian, one of the smartest man's ever ran a football.
He's a three-time NFL executive of the year.
That's not today's NFL. You don't get 4 years with a first-round draft pick who's a top-10 pick. That doesn't happen. You guess what? If that does happen and it takes 4 years for that guy to stumble and bumble and figure out how to do it, you're going to get fired as a coach and as a GM in today's NFL. One, I agree. Listen, I'm not saying Blaine Gabbert can never be a franchise quarterback because we would all said in Alex Smith's fourth year, it's a disaster, flush it down the toilet.
That's the great example.
And let's do something else. So I'm not saying Blaine Gabbert can never be a starting quarterback.
Are you saying he can never be the starter here?
I'm just saying that ship has sailed here because they're going to draft a guy no matter what in this draft, I believe.
You know, what's interesting is, and we talked a little bit about this last week, at the end of last year, the Titans and the Jaguars were pretty similar. The Jaguars were 2-14, but they lost three games in overtime. And you had the Titans that won a couple, and they were 6-10. And you had two quarterbacks that were taken in the top 10 in that draft in 2011. And the Jaguars decided to pull apart their roster, and the Titans decided to double down. And they signed 16 free agents and drafted 8 guys and wholesale changes, doubling down on that quarterback. And yet now that looks like a mistake, doesn't it? I mean, it looks, because the guy can't stay healthy, that the Jake Locker situation is a mistake. And you got two quarterbacks taken in the top 10 3 years ago.
Yeah, but you're even watching Jake Locker, though. I mean, watching him on film, I didn't sit there and come away from that going, that's a franchise guy.
Right. Not at all.
No way.
We watched him last week, and he looked average at best.
Okay, so you had two guys taken in the top 10, and both teams blew it. I mean, they missed, right? So
wait, they missed. Well, I mean, you want to play him?
Well, yeah, because he's 27
did
starts.
Did they miss, or they?
Well, I mean, I thought we agreed here that for the most part we know what the outcome. You know, we have a pretty good idea where it's headed.
If you know what the outcome is, then you play the guy whoever it is. And listen,
I don't know for sure. Staff, I said for the most part.
If the staff thinks that Blaine Gabbert gives you the best chance to win, play him. I'm all for it. I don't watch him practice.
Well, I'm talking about a guy who is probably, as you said, on a boat going in a different direction that doesn't work. What I'm saying is you got quarterbacks, you two that were top 10 picks, and they don't appear to be the guys. That could happen very easily with you next year.
Could be.
I mean, it's most.
Well, there's no guarantees.
I disagree with Tony. That I mean, that ship, it's tied up at the dock. It hasn't sailed yet.
They're on board.
Yeah, I mean, because you know what? Even going forward, I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to keep Blaine around. You know, and he's going to be familiar with the system. You're going to bring in a very young guy. I mean, well, so what are you going to do to the next guy? You know, throw him right out there. You know, regardless of what you got in the room.
Man, that's just
I agree with Brian in that, you know, you know what you are with Chad. You know, go ahead and play the guy that's probably going to has a chance of sticking around next year.
What's the message send to the other guys in the locker room that want to win?
All of that is being said with the understanding that, hey, look, I'm assuming he's playing well in practice.
He's got to do that.
Because that has to happen before you do anything.
Absolutely.
You know,
all right, so we're due for a break. Folks, you can visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush, and get caught up all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. This is Jaguars Thursday from the HannityAutos.com studios at Everbank Field. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Mark Brunell, Tony Boselli, Jeff Longman, and you, 355-NFL1. Let's grab Craig on the south side. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Thank you so much. Great show, as always. I want to comment, first of all, I totally agree with Logs. I don't think that the ship has totally sailed yet. It might be tied up at the dock.
Listen, it might be ready to go. They just broke the
bottle. Hey, back off of them. The man's making a good point.
They just broke the bottle of champagne.
I agree with Lagerman.
They just broke the bottle of champagne on the bow, getting ready to cast away.
Well, hold on. Mark, I have just a real quick question, real simple. When you came to the Jaguars and when you started playing, how long did it take you, honestly? Was it 2-3 years? What do you feel like?
To feel comfortable, to have success?
Yes.
Listen, you know what, Craig? Tony said it best. That was a different time.
Right.
It was a different situation. But to answer your question, I had 2 years of sitting back and just watching. I didn't get thrown into the mix. That was huge for me. I would not like Blaine, where he had to go in there in that Jets game, and it was just too much for him. And so I think that in itself – I think that set him back, just being thrown to the wolves too early. For me to get comfortable, I didn't feel completely comfortable, honestly, as a passer, in control, managing all that, until early 97, to be honest with you. It took me 2 years.
And that was under one coach and one system, wasn't it, Mark?
Well,
It was my fifth year in the league.
Yeah.
In 96, the numbers were okay, a lot of interceptions. A lot of interceptions. It was just a guy. Yeah, whatever. Well, at least I was on the field. It was a lot of interceptions and a lot of running around. There wasn't a lot of comfort there. Surrounded by some really good players, and we got on a little roll. But it wasn't until my fifth year that I felt, you know.
Yeah, but you were working under one coach, Coach Coughlin, one system. And this is where I want to play devil's advocate just a little bit, maybe. That Blaine, like you said, he got thrown into that Jets game. First of all, which psychologically, he's got a... I don't even know where that would go. But he's also worked under three head coaches. And you know, I think out of, if I may say this, I think Gus Bradley might be the best out of all of them. Maybe we should give him the rest of the year and just see. You know, just see.
I will tell you, Craig, though,
see
being in
what?
One... Hold on. I will say, being in one system... For multiple years, it makes all the difference in the world. I will give you that. And you look at the guys that have had great careers, that are having great careers, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, the best of the best. Brett Favre was in one system for 21 years. That makes a huge, huge difference. And especially when you're young and you've got multiple systems and lots of terminology and different concepts and blocking schemes, a bunch of different people, and you're losing – it's like the perfect storm. It is not a good situation, so I understand that. It has not been easy for Blaine Gabbert.
No, and I will say that I trust Gus to make the call at the right time. You know, if the call's to be made. You know, I don't know if there's anybody better at handling people and being positive than Gus.
I agree.
And when he sees it and he thinks the time is right, and if the time ever gets right, he'll know it. You know, so we're just going to have to wait and see if that opportunity ever comes up.
355 NFL1. John's in Keystone Heights. Hello, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good win, huh?
It was very nice.
You know, the thing is, what I'm got the decision about, you know, Henny won the game. You can't say, well, you know, Gabbert looks better starting out this game. If they really think he looks better, you know, Caldwell and Bradley is saying, well, when the fans boo, that's our opportunity. Because I think that's what they have to do. If it was a away game, maybe they get away with it.
Yeah, let's just let the fans decide. As soon as they start booing, let's put a new one in. That's silly. That's just dumb.
That's how things work in Washington, right?
Well, actually,
and I'm not talking about the Redskins.
I'm
talking about Washington, D.C. Hey, along these lines with quarterback, before Bocelli just absolutely checks out.
Loses it.
Hey, it's a topic of conversation.
Come on, let him go. Let him go.
Listen, here's my... Listen.
No, I don't want to hear anymore. Come on.
Blaine was the guy. He was the guy.
Haven't you made this point already?
No, I'm making another point. If Blaine was the guy, and he was clearly better in practice and all the things that you guys assume, he hurts his hamstring in St. Louis, correct? So he's out. Don't you think as soon as he gets healthy, he'd get the job back? Because when you're the guy and you get hurt, as soon as you're healthy, you're back in starting. It's not a competition.
Nobody's saying.
Well,
he's
no one's
the
saying
guy.
He's the guy.
He's
we're
not
just saying
the guy.
He's a guy. And let's see. Right, you know, look. It was a lively topic of conversation. We'll see if we get back there at any point. Here's one though for you quickly. Dean Blandino, who is the new NFL Vice President of Officiating, says the league's competition committee will take a look this offseason. Jeff, this is for you. At whether to expand rules that protect quarterbacks. Blandino says the panel will review injury data and game film to determine whether quarterbacks should be shielded more whenever they have the ball in the pocket, regardless of whether they are in a passing posture.
How are they going to do that?
What else can they do?
I mean, really?
What other rules can you come up with?
I'd love to know what the grand total is thus far this season on fines due to contact on a quarterback because of the rules that are already in place.
Well, here's an interesting stat. I don't have that. Of this week's 15 games, 9 feature a team that changed quarterbacks because of injury. And 9 quarterbacks are already on injured reserve.
But that's the game. That happens.
I mean,
you can't change that part of it.
I thought it was an interesting headline, so I clicked on it.
I mean, the only thing that you could do is change it to where two-hand touch and the quarterback is done. You know, it's a dead play. I don't see how else you could change it. I mean, you're already given an area of impact that is from the chest to the thighs, and that's it. And there's no more two-step rule. It's not even a one-step rule. I mean, how are you going to play defensive line? I mean, that's ridiculous.
All right.
And you know, it doesn't surprise me that this comes out the week after Peyton Manning goes, "Wah, I got hit down low."
Which was not illegal. It was a perfectly legal hit. It wasn't even close.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Honestly. Dean, what's his name?
Dean Blandino.
Dean Blandino needs to just be quiet. That's dumb. I mean, come on. I play. I mean, I'm on the offense.
But he's the head of the officiating. I mean,
they're going to ruin. I mean, it's getting borderline insane.
I can't do anything else. They can't do anything else.
No, I can't
There's
wait
no
to hear
rule.
Mike Pereira's reaction to that, and he should have a reaction to that. The former NFL head of officiating that works for Fox.
All right, we are due for news here at the bottom of the hour. You can join us in the second half hour. The Metro PCS call-in lines will be open at 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. This is Jaguars Thursday from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. And news is next on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. All right, welcome back. Jaguars Thursday, and fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, everything you need for game day. Stop by Gate today. We got a couple callers on the line. You want to
get those? Let's get Keith.
All right, let's grab Keith
with Tony
in Ponte Vedra. Hello, Keith. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, Tony? You remember me. I'm your boy from the practice green over on Ponte Vedra Beach.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Hey, man, I hope you're number one. I hope you're
Are you the guy that saw him wearing the Giant shirt that day?
Whoa.
Yeah, that's me.
I remember you.
Yeah. But no, we'll forget that, all right? Because, I mean, Tony's more – first of all, I got a prop to Tony because, number one, he was our first-round draft pick. He guarded a left-handed quarterback on a left-handed side for over 5 years. And in year three, took us to Denver – and Woody,
by myself.
On your shoulders,
nice
baby.
Nice trip down memory lane.
Thank you.
Yeah,
what
baby,
would we have done without you?
Do you remember that 28-yard run on third down? Wasn't that amazing?
My block.
That was when Brunell still had that knee. But anyway, Tony.
Keith, are you drinking?
Keith, ignore him. What did you want to say?
All right, bro. I know I need to get off. My
no,
question,
you're fine. What's up?
Stay as long as you'd like.
Yeah.
Do you think, is there anybody out there next year in the draft that would even be questionable for us drafting as a QB? And what would that do to our team?
If he's good, it would help. I don't know.
All in general would help.
I would listen, there's going to be some quarterbacks out there. I don't think there's any – the guy, right? I mean, there's not Andrew Luck is not out there where he's the bona fide number one pick. No matter what, everyone wants this guy. You know, there's a handful of very talented young players, and they all have question marks around them. But, you know, I'm sure a couple of them will be very good players, a couple of them will be busts, and a couple of them will be backups. I don't know. I mean, that's typically what happens every year when you get a bunch of quarterbacks coming out.
Yeah, and don't you normally see the ones that are usually the first picks wind up being bust. I mean, if you look back over the past 10 years.
I don't know. Andrew Luck's pretty good.
Yeah.
RG3's pretty good. Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Cam Newton. I mean, you can go down the list. There's pretty much a lot of really, really good quarterbacks in the first round.
Hey, why are you going in the Ring of Honor if he was the one that did all those things?
I voted for him.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't be in there unless he gave me a good vote of confidence.
Keith, appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1. Let's grab Robert, who's in Palatka. Hello, Robert.
Hey, man. I'm a big fan of y'all's, and I mean that literally. I want to know, since we're kind of like in a rebuilding phase here, what is the possibility of us actually re-signing Mojo or maybe trading him for some picks to build up on the future? What do you guys think about that?
Zero trade.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a UFA at the end of this year, unrestricted free agent. So the only way that you could keep his rights is to tag him, and the production hasn't been there to justify tagging him in any fashion.
The franchise number four, because of the big deal that Adrian Peterson got, the franchise number for a running back is just north of $6 million.
And he's I mean, it's very clear that he's not the
he'd
same back.
He'd take that
back
today if you'd offer it.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell he's not the same back. You know, and that's the hard part. I mean, is that, you know, you've got a lot of holes to fill over the next couple years. And Maurice is – I'd be shocked if he's re-signed unless it's a reasonable number. And I don't think Maurice is going to want to stick around for a rebuild. But I'm just –
what's the reasonable
number? Just me
number?
Guessing. What would I pay Maurice?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Two.
Okay. What do you
think would Maurice take?
What's the reason, though, that he's not the same? Is it
physical? Is it different scheme? Is it
he's
his
got,
condition?
He look at a couple things, foot, ankle, and he looks a lot heavier to me. Hmm. And he doesn't have the speed that he had.
Besides that, everything's perfect.
Other than that.
And the offensive line, obviously, that doesn't help him either.
Seriously, though, if he lost 20 pounds, if he got back to his normal playing weight of around 208 to 210.
I don't know what he weighs now, but, I mean, if he was 205.
I think it's safe to say he's more than 220.
He's definitely more
than
205.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just guessing here. I don't know. But
how are you not at your normal playing weight? I know he's heavier, but why? Why is he heavier?
Shouldn't be.
Right, exactly.
I mean, when you're talking about, I mean, the rule of thumb was always.
Because he ate too much.
I know, but I understand that. But why would you let yourself get to that point? I don't get that.
If you could just see the look on Tony's face.
The master of the obvious.
I mean, honestly, really?
You know what I'm saying, though. I mean, how do you allow yourself to get to that point?
And especially coming back.
Especially right now.
From a leg, foot injury. Can't do that. A
couple cold ones, maybe. I don't know.
The lobster bisque, Bruce Chris.
You're tired, aren't you?
Ice cream. I'm big ice cream. I had ice cream last night. That's why I'm so fat.
You're not in a good place tonight.
I got a headache. I see that.
What kind of ice cream? Oh, there's Joe. That is your brother, and he's hit you twice. This week.
I had a little mint chocolate chip last night. It was outstanding.
Who made it? Well, I mean, what brand? Any brand in particular?
Bluebell. I'm a Bluebell guy.
All right. Hope they're an advertiser.
Well, you 3-5. Really good job of sticking to your statement after the London trip.
Here's the question: have you gained anything from the 310?
I was 309. I'm down a pound.
Down a pound.
I got to March 1st.
So what are you going to wait till February 5th?
I might.
That's our man, folks, and
it says on the board. I'll get it down.
Buscelli,
280 March 1st.
March 1, 280 pounds.
309.
We need a sponsor for this deal.
That's fine.
Make sure it's Bluebell, you're screwed.
Make sure it's not an ice cream sponsor. Otherwise, there's no chance of making it.
All right, so let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about tonight's game and games around the National Football League. You're listening to Jaguars Thursday from the HannityAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. And this is Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, welcome back. What do we got? About 13 minutes left in the program and a full slate of games this weekend. Some really good ones to talk about. We'll start with the one tonight, the Colts at the Titans. Colts coming off of a 38-8 thrashing at home at the hands of Taven Austin, who pretty much single-handedly did that for the Rams. And the Titans, all we heard last week as the Jaguars were coming home was how embarrassing it was to lose to an 0-8 football team. And we're a good team, Bernard Pollard said. They're a bad team. They look like a pretty bad team last week. So what do you think?
I'm anxious to watch them tonight. Bernard Pollard opened his mouth like that when he had two plays.
He's the guy that jumped on the quarterback.
That led to first downs. I mean, are you kidding me?
There's always an idiot or two that says stupid stuff like that.
I mean, a guy like that has absolutely no reason to say anything, but I made bad plays that hurt our football team today. And then he comes out and says that? Yeah, that's real good. Real way to be a leader.
All right, so they're going to start a backup quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Might be better with him.
I agree.
Well, you know, we said that last week. I think you guys said it at the break. Uh-oh, you know, Locker goes out. Watch him come back
in. They were better with him last week for sure.
They've got a running game that last week never got going, but tonight they get a Colts defense that hasn't stopped the run very well recently. So that's one side of the ball. The other side
is Chris Johnson in the mouth early, and he'll shut it down. Man, that's kind of back.
Corey Redding does that a couple of times. It's over.
Corey Redding, you know, whoever. It doesn't have to be anybody special. Chris Johnson, if I'm a teammate of his, I don't like the guy. If I'm an offensive lineman of his, I definitely don't like the guy because he doesn't run in the hole.
Okay.
Cuts back. Brian called it about 100 times.
What did you say, that I should just tape it and Joe could play it? Here's the cutback.
I mean,
there's the cutback.
Every time you get the ball.
Johnson cutting back.
Johnson to the right, cuts back. Johnson to the right, cuts back.
That's all he does. That's all he knows how to. He was trying to cut back on a 2-yard play.
So many times when you pause the film and you say, okay, if he just goes right there, he's got at least four. And then he just decides to do something else. I mean, how frustrating would that be if you're Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator for the Titans, where you've got a back that's doing that and a team that's committed to him. I mean, that's kind of why they brought in the guy from the Jets.
And he's making $10 million a year. They guaranteed him essentially $30 million over the first three
years
of his deal. Yeah.
I mean, they're stuck.
There's not much they can do. Now, the other side is you've got Andrew Luck,
who was just kicking right along through the first season and a half of his career because he had Reggie Wayne, who was just leading everything. Now Reggie's gone, and their offense struggled last week. They trade a first-round pick for Trent Richardson.
It's not looking real good.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good. All of a sudden, Ryan Grigson, who had the magic touch of taking a job with the number one pick. I'm being facetious.
You always have the magic touch when you draft a quarterback.
Yeah, well,
it's good.
When you get a great one like that, you're right. So what do you think? I mean, by the way, one of these two teams is probably the playoff team out of the AFC South, the division winner.
Last week, Colts are going to get this one. No question.
Think so?
Oh, absolutely.
The Titans are not going to the playoffs.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't think so. But if they beat the Colts tonight, who knows?
I do.
They'd be 5-5. They'd be one game out.
No.
They'd be one game out. All right, so it's not,
I guarantee
there's a mathematical opportunity for
you. I guarantee you right now that the Titans are not going to the playoffs.
Okay, but I'll say this, Logs. If the Titans beat the Colts tonight, they'll be 5-5 and one game back of the Colts, so they could.
They could, but I'm with Tony.
Man, I'm looking to you to help me out here. Not that I care one way or another. So are you going with Colts?
Yes.
Colts too? Okay. All right, to Sunday, the Jets with Ed Reed, who has a chance to play, according to his head coach, at the Bills.
I'm going to go with the Bills.
E.J. Manuel?
I mean, Bills been competitive all year long.
They have. That's a tough call. I'm going to go with the Jets, though.
Homer.
Why is that a homer?
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Okay, why?
Their defense.
Yeah.
They're good up front, but I don't think they're very good in the back end.
I think it's a good ball game.
We'll see the Bills in a couple of weeks. Why aren't they better up front? You know, they've got Marcell Dareus and Mario Williams and Kyle Williams. I mean, they've got some guys on that team.
They
that
got
can play.
The kid from Oregon, middle linebacker, who's a really good player. Oregon kid. I know exactly. I mean,
but you know, they've got the corner from South Carolina, Stephen Gilmore. I mean, they've got some talent on that side.
That middle linebacker,
and they're facing a rookie quarterback also.
Kiki Alonso, that's his name. Alonso, very good player. I mean,
they've stacked up a pretty good defense on that side.
They've probably been one of the most surprising teams because when we looked at that team the last time we went, they don't have any talent,
right?
You know, and all of a sudden, Doug Marone's doing a great job up there in Buffalo with multiple quarterbacks, competitive week in and week out.
What's the record?
Man.
3-5.
Yeah, but they're competitive.
Are they 3-5?
They're in games.
They have to have 9 games.
They may be 3-6 then.
Yeah.
The Lions are at the Steelers. Lions, all of they're going and beat the Bears last week.
Calvin Johnson didn't practice again today.
But I think they expect him to play.
But Pittsburgh is awful. I mean, awful. I don't see it. I mean, in Pittsburgh, you know, I give credit to Mike Tomlin that he's been trying to do everything that he possibly can every week, tweaking a roster, you know, tweaking a lineup, and it's not working.
Lions. The Steelers, I agree, Jeff. I said at the beginning of the year the Steelers are no good, and they're not.
You're right again.
No, I'm just saying, I mean, they have a bad offensive line. I thought their offensive line was bad going in. They're getting old on defense, and it's a bad combination right there.
You know, the Bills are 3-7, so they have another bye week. They're off this week, obviously.
No, they play the Jets this week. They're off next week.
I'm sorry. Off next week. That's the end of it. I was looking for something else.
Cut back.
You got the Buccaneers and the Falcons. The Falcons are 2-7. The Bucs are 1-8.
That's a tough one.
Bucs have a little momentum.
Did you watch Atlanta against Arizona at all?
I didn't watch that game. They're not
Atlanta
very good,
looks awful. Matt Ryan looks like he doesn't deserve a dollar. He looks terrible.
That's a stretch.
No.
A dollar?
Go watch the Arizona Cardinals
game. I understand that, but if you're not going
to watch Matt Ryan, and you tell me how much he's worth.
I
if you had to do an evaluation on that game only.
Well, you never do that,
though. But you're Matt Ryan. You just got – how much did he get?
$100 million.
He got a ton of money.
He got an Aaron Rodgers, Joe Flacco.
So would you pay – you wouldn't pay Tony Romo?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't want Tony Romo with Matt Ryan right now.
My point is you can't judge a guy in one game.
No, I know, but I'm just saying is that
– The Falcons are a bad team.
If that game is any indication of the way he's been playing all year long, he's terrible.
No, but it's not – I don't think it's completely unfair.
The offensive line is terrible. He's been bad.
They're without their top two receivers. They're out with their starting running back. Their starting left tackle is gone. And I believe they lost one other offensive lineman. So that's 5 starters.
Sounds like this team.
No, but I'm saying it makes it tough to be starting quarterback. I don't care how good you are, all your weapons.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you see clean pocket and open guys and throws that aren't even in the same zip code.
So you're saying the Bucs?
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucs.
I'm taking the Bucs too.
You staying with Smitty this time? I think this is the first time you haven't picked Smitty.
Oh, that's true.
I can't pick you, Smitty.
I'm going to be loyal, Smitty.
Yeah, look at you jumping on the cookie in the middle of the table. The Redskins are at the Eagles. Eagles are 5-5, and Nick Foles has 16 touchdown passes and no interceptions.
Ten touchdowns in the last two weeks.
Yeah, but 7-1 game. It's a little bit skewed. They played the Raiders.
That all also helps.
Still seven touchdown passes in a game.
I'm going to go with the hot hand. I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going to take the
Eagles. It's in
Philly. Are the Redskins playing any defense?
No.
I haven't seen them play.
I'll take Philly.
Raiders at the Texans. Texans have two wins also.
That's a bad football game.
Really?
There's some good ones coming, though. Hold on.
J.J. Watt. I'm going to take J.J. Watt.
Although I watched J.J. Watt. I mean, he's still outstanding player, but he gets blocked a lot more this year than he did last year.
Yeah, but you know the guy that's playing his rear end off, Antonio Smith.
I was going to say.
Holy cow.
He's winning more one-on-one battles than J.J. right now.
Because J.J.'s getting all the doubles.
Yeah. Oh, there's no
but
doubt.
But Antonio Smith. Man,
I'm going to take Houston. Gary Kubiak's going to be back on the sidelines.
Been emotional.
Cleared by the doctor after having the mild stroke or the mini stroke. I like Texans.
Ravens at the Bears.
The Ravens are awful.
Josh McCown.
I'm taking the Bears with McCown.
You think so?
Yeah, I do too. The Ravens cannot run the ball. I think they're averaging like 2.3 or 2.4. They're awful.
Ray Rice is averaging less than 2.
Yeah, they're awful.
McCown's pretty solid. Four touchdowns, no picks.
He's playing
manager.
Well.
He makes good decisions. I like the Bears too.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker.
Browns at Bengals.
Bengals.
I think they're turning around. I believe that Tony is right. And that Cleveland's got a defense because the numbers speak so. I'm going with Cleveland.
You know, Andy Dalton was the offensive player of the month in October, and in November he has just downright
last two games, three interceptions each game.
Yeah,
struggling.
He is struggling.
Is that a problem?
That is a problem.
Not if you throw four touchdowns.
I'm gonna go with the Bengals.
Chargers at Dolphins. Boy, the Dolphins.
Oh, they're horrible.
Chargers. Yeah, Dolphins.
They're going
are
up
mess.
And down the field.
Can they pull
Richie,
out of that?
Is Richie Incognito playing?
No, I think not.
No, their offensive line's
in
trouble.
I'm going to go
with
the Chargers.
Okay, Packers at Giants.
Giants. I'm going Giants. Tolzien can't do it.
Tom Coughlin is better than any coach in the second half of the season. I'll take Tom.
All right, one more stinker.
I think the Giants are going to make the playoffs.
One more stinker. Seahawks over Vikings. I'll just give it all to you. Seahawks over Vikings. Here you go. 49ers at Saints. 4:25 kickoff on Sunday.
Ooh, I like that one.
I'll take Saints.
It's at the Saints. Yeah, it's Saints.
The 49ers can't score enough points. When you go against Carolina Panthers, and Tony, I know the Carolina has a good defense.
Very good.
But when you throw for 60 yards.
I think I picked that game.
60 yards. You did. You throw for 60 yards.
You did pick it.
That's terrible. I mean, Colin Kaepernick's now using Twitter as motivation again.
Because Trent Dilfer is taking shots at him.
Really? I mean, come on.
So Saints all around. Yep. Chiefs at Broncos Sunday night. Well, Dwayne Bowe is playing.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
You really think?
Yep.
Because of their defense.
Yep.
I said, listen, I've been on the Chiefs. I agree, Jeff.
You think they can score enough points?
I think they're going to hit Peyton Manning early, and I think those ankles are going to get sore.
Wait. You don't think they can score enough points against the Jack Del Rio defense, really?
Well, I'm talking about keeping up with Manning.
I don't think Manning's going to score that much points.
I don't either.
He's got a hurt ankle.
And I think they're going to tattoo
him. Didn't you hear? I mean, hadn't he told everybody enough? He had an MRI.
Well,
he's hurt.
And we got
they aren't going to be able to get anywhere near him or there's going to be flags thrown from just a sighting.
Dean Blandino telling say they can't touch him now.
I'm going Broncos.
I'm going Chiefs.
All right. And then finally,
Peyton Manning, Weber.
Here you go. Patriots at the Panthers. All of a sudden, Carolina's on a five-game winning streak with a great defense.
One of the games of the week.
Monday Night Football.
The Panthers. I've been on the. I like the Panthers. I like Cam Newton. I know you guys don't, and I really like that defense.
I'm taking Brady.
I'm gonna go Panthers.
Oh.
I'm going that defense.
Greg Hardy, Charles Johnson. I mean, those two guys
come
off the
edge. That's a
good
football game.
They got Star Lutui inside. And they got Keekly as the middle linebacker.
He's really good. He's really good. But I just think Tom Brady is gonna win.
Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
So you've got some.
Where's it at?
It's in Carolina.
Ooh.
You want to rethink your pick?
Nope. I'm still taking Brady.
I mean, you got.
I'm taking the Jedi.
Mm.
Bill Belichick.
All right.
He is the master.
Are you kidding me?
Mm.
You don't really believe that, though, do you?
How many Super Bowls does he have? More than any coach in the National Football League right now.
In the Super Bowl.
And you're telling me you don't believe in him?
I think I wouldn't call him the Jedi Master.
He's pretty doggone good.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week here on Jaguars Thursday. And we'll talk to all of you at 10 a.m. Public's Tailgate Show on Sunday morning. Have a great rest of your week.